We are on page 420. Paragraph 46. So up till paragraph 45, 10 kinds of success were described. And among them, the first one, only success by resolve, is actually mentioned in the clause, kinds of supernormal power of success. So it is from the text. But two success as transformation and three success as the mind-made body are needed in this sense as well. So in the clause, kinds of supernormal power or supernormal success, we should take not only one, but three of the kinds of success mentioned above. Now, the commentator goes on explaining the other clauses in the text. To the kinds of supernormal power, that is, to the components of supernormal power or to the departments of supernormal power, that means the constituents of supernormal power, he directs, he inclines his mind. When that bhikkhu's consciousness has become the basis for direct knowledge in the way already described, he directs the preliminary work consciousness with the purpose of attaining the kinds of supernormal power. He sends it in the direction of kinds of supernormal power, leading it away from the kasina as its object. In order to do a supernormal thing, first he enters into jhanas, and then he makes the fourth jhana. Fourth jhana means in fourfold method. Fourth jhana the basis for supernormal power or supernormal knowledge. So a bhikkhu's consciousness has become the basis for direct knowledge in the way already described. He directs the preliminary work consciousness with the purpose of attaining the kinds of supernormal power. So after entering into the fourth jhana, he emerges from the fourth jhana, and then he does the preparation work for the supernormal knowledge. So preliminary work consciousness means kama vichara, I mean sense fear consciousness. And then he sends it in the direction of the kinds of supernormal power, that means he inclines his mind towards that. So inclines, make it ten and lean towards the supernormal power to be attained. And he means the bhikkhu who has done the directing of his mind in this way. The various, varied of different sorts. These are what explanations. So they seem to be repeating. Kinds of supernormal powers, departments of supernormal power, wheels, the Pali word, alternative form. Sometimes it cannot be translated into English or another language because the two words are just a variation. The second is just a variation of the first word. There is no difference in meaning. Paccha nu bhavati and paccha nu bhavati, they are the same. In the first word, the A should be short, not long. Paccha nu bhavati. And the second word is paccha nu bhavati. So the only difference is here, instead of bhavati, here we have bhavati. It is just a grammatical peculiarity. The meaning is that he makes contact with, realizes, reaches. Now, in order to show that variousness, it is said, having been one. Now, we have to read this because the commentator is going to explain one by one and the different kinds of supernormal powers a monk may perform. So, having been one, he becomes many. Having been many, he becomes one. Actually, this text is not given in full in the Visuddhimagga, because the commentator takes it that his readers already know this passage, but we are lucky that the translator gave us a full text here. So that is why it is included in the brackets. So, having been one, he becomes many. Having been many, he becomes one. That means he multiplies himself. He will create many likenesses of him, 100, 1,000, and so on. He appears and vanishes. He goes unhindered through walls, through enclosures, through mountains, as though in open space. He dives in and out of the earth, as though in water. He goes on unbroken water as though on earth, so walking on the water. Seated cross-legged, he travels in space like a winged bird. With his hand, he touches and strokes the moon and sun so mighty and powerful. He wields bodily mastery even as far as the Brahma world. So this is taken from the discourse Diga Nikaya. Then the commentator will explain one by one. Having been normally one before giving effect to the supernormal power. So a monk is only one. But here he's going to make likenesses of himself to create images. So he becomes many, wanting to walk with many, or wanting to do a recital, or wanting to ask questions with many. He becomes 100 or 1,000. How does he do this? He accomplishes 1, the 4 planes, 2, the 4 bases or roads, 3, the 8 steps, and 4, the 16 roots of supernormal power. And then he resolves with knowledge. Here, planes means something like stories. I mean, 1 story, 2 story high, and so on. That the Pali word used is bhumi. So bhumi can mean planes, planes of existence, as well as floors in buildings. So first floor, second floor, and so on. And these 4 planes should be understood as the 4 jhanas. So 4 jhanas are said to be the 4 planes or 4 stages of the supernormal power. And 4 here means according to 4-fold method. For this has been said by the general of the Dhamma, that means the elder Sariputta. Sariputta was said to be his other monks call him the general of the Dhamma. What are the 4 planes of supernormal power and so on? So and this is taken from the Patisambhita Magga. You'll find the reference a few lines down, PS 2205. And he reaches supernormal power by becoming light, malleable, and wieldy in body after steeping himself in blissful perception and light perception due to the pervasion of happiness and pervasion of bliss, which is why the first 3 jhanas should be understood as the accessory plane, since they lead to the obtaining of supernormal power in this manner. But the 4th is a natural plane for obtaining supernormal power. That means he enters into the first jhana, and then second jhana, and then third jhana, and the 4th jhana. So the 4th jhana is the natural plane for obtaining supernormal power. That means 4th jhana is the basis for supernormal power. Without entering into the 4th jhana and emerging from it, nobody can exercise the supernormal powers. So the 4 planes mean the 4 jhanas, the 4 material jhanas. Then the 4 bases or roads should be understood as the 4 bases of success. And the Pali word is Adipada, roads to power. Or here roads mean just causes of. For this is said, what are the 4 bases for success? Here, a bhikkhu develops the basis for success or road to power that possesses both concentration due to zeal and the will to strive. He developed the basis for success, road to power, that possesses both concentration due to energy and the will to strive. He develops the basis for success, road to power, that possesses both concentration due to natural purity of consciousness and the will to strive. He develops the basis for success that possesses both concentration due to inquiry. Inquiry really means panya, knowledge, not just inquiring. The Pali word uses vimamsa. The Sanskrit word is mimamsa. Mimamsa means to investigation. So here, investigation does not necessarily mean just to investigate, but to investigate and to understand correctly. So it is a name for panya. Concentration due to inquiry and the will to strive. These four bases for success lead to the obtaining of supernormal power, to the fearlessness due to supernormal power, and so on. What are these four? Did you get four? Now, zeal is one thing here. The Pali word is chanda. That means just the will to do. You know, chanda has two meanings. Just the will to do, or sometimes it is desire for sensual things. So here, just the will to do, not desire for sensual things. So the first one is chanda. The second one is energy, virya. And the third is consciousness. And the fourth is inquiry, or panya. These four are called Iddipada, roads to power, or causes of power.
So, wisdom, energy,
consciousness, and zeal, will to do. A very strong will. So, a person has to develop these four qualities in order to get supernormal power. And here the concentration that has zeal as its cause, or has zeal outstanding, that means zeal which is prominent, is concentration due to zeal. This is a term for concentration obtained by giving precedence to zeal consisting in desire to act, just the desire to act, not attachment to sensual things. Will formation as endeavor is will to strive. This is a what explanation. This is a term for the energy of right endeavor accomplishing its full function. Among the 37 constituents of enlightenment, we have four great efforts. Yeah, right endeavor here, it is called right endeavor. So four kinds of right endeavor. That is, trying to get rid of the akusala which have arisen in the past, and then avoiding akusala and getting kusala and developing kusala. So with regard to akusala, two kinds of endeavor, and with regard to kusala also two kinds of endeavor. Possesses is furnished with concentration due to zeal and with the four instances of the will to strive. Road to power, basis for success. The meaning is the total of consciousness and its remaining concomitants, except the concentration and the will, which are in the sense of resolve. The road to basis for the concentration due to zeal and will to strive associated with the direct knowledge consciousness, which later are themselves termed power, success, either by treatment as protection or in the sense of succeeding or by treatment in this way, being succeeded by its means that they are successful, they are enriched, promoted. It's difficult to understand this passage. Now, this word, road to power, has two words, I mean, road and power. In Pali, Iddhi and Pada. Now, Iddhi means simply concentration and energy. So they are here called Iddhi, success or power. And Pada really means their basis. Although here it is, basis for success. So their basis. And their basis is what? Consciousness and its remaining concomitant. It is not accurate here. The remaining consciousness and concomitant. In order to understand this, you have to understand, say, the consciousness called supernormal or supernormal power consciousness. When a person achieves this power, there arises in his mind a kind of consciousness. So that consciousness is called supernormal power consciousness. Now, along with that consciousness, there are mental factors, many mental factors. So among them, the two, concentration and energy, are called Iddhi here, called power. And then the consciousness and other remaining concomitants are called Rot here, Pada. So by the compound word Iddhi Pada is meant the supernormal knowledge, power, consciousness, and its concomitants. So the meaning is, I think the total is not good here. And there is no word for total in the original. The consciousness and its concomitants, except concentration and the will. Will here means energy. Which are not chanda, actually it is energy, which are in the sense of resolve. Also here, in the sense of basis, not in the sense of resolve, in the sense of basis, the road to the concentration due to zeal and will to strive associated with the direct knowledge consciousness.
Will to strive.
Will to strive means...
Is this
chitta? No. It is energy. I mean, effort. It is explained where Iddhi Pada. So will to strive really means striving.
So what Pali word is that the translation of will to strive?
The word used here is. Not simple chanda, I mean simple virya, but chanda. I mean there are two compound words: chanda samadhi and badhana sankhara. Chanda samadhi means samadhi caused by chanda, I mean chanda's will, and then badhana sankhara means the striving formations. That means virya. I mean. Energy or effort. They are explained in paragraph 51. Concentration due to zeal, will to strive. Yeah. Will as endeavor is will to strive. So it is not chanda here, but it is virya. So concentration and energy are called Iddhi here, and the consciousness and other concomitants, the remaining concomitants are called road or pada. So Iddhi Pada, road to power means the consciousness, direct knowledge consciousness and concomitants, other than concentration and concentration and energy. This is also just what explanation. Or alternatively, it is arrived at by means of that. Thus, that is a road. And it is reached is the meaning. That means the meaning of arrived at. So, Adiyapada, resolution of compound. This is a term for zeal, etc., according as it is said. Here, Adiyapada is made to mean the four things. The same four, will to do, energy, consciousness, and inquiry, or panya.
Well, which is the Pali word for the consciousness in those four?
A citta.
Oh.
And then a quotation. So next paragraph 54. The eight steps should be understood as the eight beginning with zeal. Now, actually, there are only four roads to success. But here, the concentration is combined with each. So we have here eight. So if a bhikkhu obtains concentration, obtains unification of mind supported by zeal, then the zeal is not the concentration, the concentration is not the zeal. The zeal is one, the concentration is another. So we get two here, zeal and concentration. And in the next sentence, if it becomes supported by energy, we have energy and concentration. And then in the next, we have consciousness and concentration. And last, we have inquiry and concentration. So there are eight steps, or eight, like, we can call them eight causes again. So these eight steps also one has to perform. Just trying to get into jhana and then developing them. Now the paragraph 55, the 16 roots, the mind's unperturbedness should be understood in 16 modes, what this is said. So here, the 16 modes are given. What are the 16 roots of success? Undejected consciousness, this is one. Unrelated consciousness, this is another. Unattracted consciousness, and so on and so on. So there are 16. Among them, about the middle of the paragraph, there is the barriers. Consciousness, rid of barriers, is not perturbed by the barrier of defilement. Now, here, consciousness with barriers means the distractions coming in between the moments of samadhi. Not the moments of samadhi following one after the other. There are something like some buffers between the moments of samadhi. So when a person in samadhi is not yet good, then he will have these distractions or thoughts coming in between the samadhi moments. So if it is like that, it is called consciousness with barriers. And if samadhi is one uninterrupted flow, then it is called consciousness rid of barriers. So here consciousness really means consciousness accompanied by concentration, concentrated consciousness. Okay, now 56. Of course, this meaning is already established by the words when his concentrated mind, etc. too, but it is stated again for the purpose of showing that the first jhana, etc. are the, let us try called three. There is no word for three in the original, and it doesn't fit here, because there are four planes, not three. So the first jhana, etc., are the planes of success to supernormal powers, basis of, steps of, and roots of success to supernormal powers. In order to show that, it is mentioned again here. And the first mentioned method is the one given in the suttas. But this is how it is given in the Patisamvita Magga. So there are two kinds of treatment. The one is given, what is given in the suttas, and the other is that given in Patisamvita Magga. Patisamvita Magga is said to be later than the suttas. But it is ascribed to the Venerable Sariputta. If it is true, then it may not be so much later than the sodas. And Patisamvita Magga is something like a commentary. Not exactly a commentary, but looks something resembling a commentary on some teachings in the sutta. And Venerable Buddha Gosa has very great respect for that book, Patisamvita Magga. So whenever he wrote about meditation, he always quote Patisamvita Magga. So we have many quotations from Patisamvita Magga and Visuddhi Magga, and today also we'll find many. So it is stated again for the purpose of avoiding confusion in each of the two instances. Now 57, he resolves with knowledge. So then these words appear in paragraph 48. When he has accomplished these things consisting of planes, bases, steps and routes of success to supernormal power, then he attains jhana as the basis for direct knowledge and emerges from it. Now here the author is describing how one goes about until one reaches the direct knowledge consciousness. So what is the first thing to do? He attains jhana as the basis for direct knowledge and emerges from it. So first he attains first jhana, then second jhana, then third jhana, then fourth jhana, and make that basis for the direct knowledge and emerges from it. Then if he wants to become a hundred, he does the preliminary work thus: let me become a hundred, let me become a hundred. That is the second stage, and that is called a preliminary work. And that is done by karma vajra consciousness, not rupa vajra consciousness. So entering into jhana, and when a person is in the jhana, then rupa vajra consciousness only arises. Then he emerges from jhana and does the preliminary work, let me become a hundred, or let me become a hundred. Then he does this with Cheda belonging to the sensual sphere. After which he again attains jhana. Again he enters into jhana, the fourth jhana, as basis for direct knowledge. Then emerges from it and then resolves. So make determination then. He becomes a hundred simultaneously with the resolving consciousness. That resolving consciousness really means direct knowledge consciousness. The same method applies in the case of a thousand and so on. So there are four stages. So first, the basis jhana, and then preliminary work. Again, basis jhana, and last, direct knowledge. So there are four stages. If he does not succeed in this way, he should do the preliminary work again and attain, emerge and resolve a second time. For it is said in the Sanyutta commentary that it is allowable to attain once or twice. So he may try once, twice. Herein the basic jhana consciousness has the sign as its object. Sign means counterpart sign. So the object of jhana is counterpart sign. So here also the object of basic jhana, or basic jhana consciousness, is the counterpart sign. But the preliminary work consciousness have the hundred as their object or thousand as their object. Preliminary work is done by kama vajra consciousness. So it is not, so the counterpart sign is not the object of these chaitas. But if he wants to become a hundred, then a hundred is the object. If he wants to become a thousand, then thousand is the object. And these latter are objects as appearances, not as concepts. So appearances means visible objects, just as visible objects and not as concepts. And resolving consciousness has likewise the hundred as its object or the thousand as its object. Resolving consciousness really means direct knowledge consciousness. So it has 100 or 1,000 as its object. That arises only once only next to change of lineage consciousness, as in the case of absorption consciousness already described. It is said that the direct knowledge consciousness arises only once and then disappears. Jhana consciousness, at the first attainment, then it arises only once and then disappears. And later on, when that person wants to spend some time with jhana only, then he enters into that jhana. And at that time, jhana consciousness may, one jhana consciousness may follow the other in succession for, say, 1 hour, 2 hours, or the whole day. Now, this direct knowledge consciousness arises only once. It is actually a kind of fourth jhana consciousness, but not the same as fourth jhana consciousness, but it is reckoned as the fourth jhana consciousness. But the difference is, it does not take the sign, counterpart sign as object. It takes the 100 appearances, or 1,000 appearances, or whatever may be. So, that is the difference.
So is it the same object with the counterpart?
Yeah, same as a preliminary, right. Here the preliminary consciousness takes 100, 1,000 as object. So the direct knowledge consciousness also takes that object. And it is fine material sphere consciousness now, belonging to the fourth jhana, right? This page will be important for Abhidhamma's students when they read the ninth chapter. In the ninth chapter, the direct knowledge is treated very briefly. So you can take something from here. Now,
I'm not clear about it. It seems like that's a concept. I'm not understanding the difference between appearances and...
Appearance means, you know, paramattha, I mean... ultimate reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what it takes is the something like color. When we see something, we actually see color. We see with our eyes color, and then we think we see a form or a shape. And that is we think we see them, or we see with our manodvara. Mentally we see the shape or form, but what we really see is the visible data. So in the same way, what the preliminary consciousness takes is the visible data, not the concept as a man or a monk or something like that. Normally one, he adverts to himself as many or 100 or 1,000 or 100,000. Having adverted, he resolved with knowledge, let me be many. He becomes many, like the Venerable Chula Panchaka. And here he adverts is said with respect only to the preliminary work. Having adverted, he resolves with knowledge is said with respect to the knowledge of the direct knowledge. Direct knowledge. So here we call it abhinya. Consequently, he adverts to many. After that, he attains with the last one of the preliminary work consciousness. Here, I think with the last one can mean at the moment of the last preliminary work consciousness. So I think we should say after he attains, after that he attains after the last one of the preliminary world consciousness. So there are four or three movements of preliminary world consciousness, and then there is direct knowledge consciousness. So not with the last one, but after the last one, he attained the direct knowledge consciousness. After emerging from the attainment, he again adverts thus, let me be many, after which he resolved by means of the single consciousness belonging to the knowledge of direct knowledge. So the direct knowledge consciousness arises only once, which has arisen next to the three or four preparatory consciousness that have occurred. Preparatory consciousness means preliminary consciousness, four moments or three moments, and which has a name resolve owing to its making the decision. So the last one is called resolve. This is how the meaning should be understood here. So in a thought process for abhinya, then there will be four or three kama vajra movements, and then the fourth jhana. And that fourth jhana is, they are called abhinya, direct knowledge. And then life continuum follows. And it is so powerful that just by arising once, it can create miracles. Like the Venerable Chula Pandaka is said, in order to point to a bodily witness really means direct witness, not hearsay, something like that. So bodily witness of this multiple state, but that must be illustrated by the story. So here we have the story. I think I've told this story many times. Chula Pandaka. So he was very, very dull. He was born very dull. So he could not even learn the four lines of his four-line stanza in how many months? 4 months. So even, it is said that he learned one line for 4 months. I mean, for 1 month. And then he got that one line. Then he goes to next line. So when he goes to the next line, he lost the first one. So after the fourth month, he had nothing. So his brother said, "You are useless in this dispensation," and he expels him from the monastery. Now his brother was an arahant, but yeah, he seemed to be angry with him. So, "You are useless in this dispensation." And here, actually, he was not useless. He was going to be an arahant a few moments later. But he was not as wise as the Buddha, his elder brother. So, and his opinion was that his brother, younger brother, was useless because he could not even learn four lines of his stanza. And if he could not learn, then he won't be able to practice. Because in order to practice, you have to know something. You have to learn something from the teacher. That is why he said, "You are useless in this dispensation." But Buddha will turn him into a very useful disciple. So at that time, the elder had charge of the allocation of meal and so on. So this story is not difficult to understand. And then he became an arahant. The next day, when the others went to take meal at Anathapindika's house, he was left behind. But at that time he was an arahant. And then Buddha wanted to let other people know that he had become an arahant. So when, after offering food, at the end of the water offering ceremony, he covered his bowl, the Buddha. That means pouring water on the hand of the Buddha, or the one who accepts. It is a symbol, symbolic, like we do now the water dropping ceremony. And that is done before eating here. And in Sri Lanka, they still do this way. So lay people bring food to the monastery, or maybe to invite them to their houses, and they offer food to the monks, and the monk, one of the monks, does this ceremony, and then they are offered in monk's age. But in our country, we do after eating. So there's a difference of customs. But here, Buddha did before eating. So when the gruel was being given out at the end of the water offering ceremony, he covered his bowl. So he did not accept gruel. Then Jiyoga asked, what it is, Venerable Sir? There is a bhikkhu at the monastery and so on. So there is one bhikkhu left. So somebody was sent to take him to the place. But at that time, now having multiplied himself up to 1,000, Bhantaka sat in the pleasant mango wood until the time should be announced. So he was waiting. He creates himself into 1,000 monks. And then when the people went there, they saw many monks, and so they went back to the Buddha, and the monastery is crowded with bhikkhus. So I do not know which of them the Lord is. I mean, which of them is Chula Pantaka is. So Buddha said, go and catch hold of the hem of the rope of the first one you see. Tell him the master calls you and bring him here. He went and caught hold of the rope of the elder himself. That means he happened to be to have taken hold of the elder himself, not of the created images. But even if he took hold of the rope of the images, then all images will disappear and only the real Chula Pantaka would remain. But here the man happened to be happened to have taken hold of the robe of the elder himself. At once all the creations vanished and so on. And then, so Chula Pantaka went there, took the meal, and then Buddha left him to give a Dhamma talk. So when he became an arahant, he was endowed with all supernormal knowledge, and all jhanas and so on. So he was now able to repeat all what the Buddha had taught. So it is not mentioned in this book, but in the Dhammapada it is mentioned that the Buddha left him to give a Dhamma talk, and so he gave a very good Dhamma talk, basing his talk on the whole of the Tipitaka.
Which he could now memorize.
Right. So this is the story of Chula Pantaka. We'll have many stories today. The many who were created there were just like the possessor of the supernormal power, because they were created without particular specification. And if there is specification, then they will appear as specified. So if there is no specification, then all creations will be doing the same as the monk does. If he's sitting, they will all be sitting. If he's walking, they will all be walking. But Chula Pantaka did not do that way. So he had to enter into jhana and then emerge from it, then resolve one, and then next, and then do jhana and then resolve again and again. May some be walking, may some be sitting, may some be reciting, something like that. So he had to be very very familiar, very adept at entering into jhana and emerging from it. So 68. The same method of explanation applied to the clause, having been many, he becomes one. But there is this difference. After this bhikkhu has thus created a manifold state, then he again thinks as one only.